Hi, this is Arne Peterson from Awareness and Health, and I believe that personal experience is so important when we're looking for a new therapist, which is why I'm giving this 22-minute downloadable audio sample of my Freedom Through Mindfulness program, which I include with one-on-one private sessions together. And when we work together, that each time you come to see me, when you're ready, I'll be giving you the next section of this program to work on at home so that you have a structure that you can follow at home in between the sessions. Because it's so easy to get lost and trying to think of what to do in between the sessions. So I'll send you home with this link. I'll send you home with homework as well. And so you can download it onto your phone and you can listen to it. And it'll really help exponentially increase your results of your goals working together with me. Now, this program, the full program, is actually, it's 6 sections in total. And it's 15 downloadable audios, approximately 10 and a half hours in total. There's a hypnotherapy session, 6 guided meditations, and print-off summaries at the end of each section. So I hope you enjoy this and you get a lot from it. And after listening to this, it would be a really good time to then click the link to schedule a free 1-hour Zoom video consultation with me. I look forward to meeting with you. All the content in this Freedom Through Mindfulness program is copyrighted by myself, Arne Peterson from Awareness and Health, including my earlier versions from 2012 to this current version in 2023. All rights are reserved and no part of this program can be duplicated or shared without my written permission. Here is the 22-minute audio sample from section number 1. One example would be we were ridiculed and laughed at when we shared an oral report at the front of the class in school when we were younger. And a coping mechanism was created to protect us by giving us anxiety to make us avoid group situations. Then as an adult, when we are around others, we feel anxious. We have sweaty palms, we have trouble breathing. This feeling is the old survival behavior designed to get us out of Dodge quickly and as soon as possible, because the association of the old unresolved trauma of speaking in front of the class and being ridiculed was just too painful for us to deal with at that time, and it was left unresolved. And our subconscious will do everything it can to keep us from feeling that ever again, so it triggers anxiety to accomplish that. I will give lots of different examples of how our subconscious mind hijacks our behaviors when it perceives danger. These examples will help you better relate the information in this course to your own personal life experiences. These reactions are all just subconscious programs, essentially just beliefs and behaviors. And the good news is that all beliefs and behaviors can be changed. If these automatic programs were intrinsically who we are, we could not change them. But they are not us. They're just programs built from how we related to past experiences, and with understanding and willingness, we can change them. If we keep doing what we've always done, we will keep getting what we've always got. If we want to change, we have to be willing to change. What I mean by this is that the things we don't feel good about in our life circumstances and about ourselves are the things we want to change. And if we want them to change, this requires changes in our life. When we see change as our friend, it then becomes the avenue for our freedom. Change can be really hard to do, often leading to giving up and falling right back into old habits. When we learn how this happens and what we need to do to succeed, following through with change empowers us and can actually happen fairly easily, often becoming joyfully fulfilling. Now, when we understand how our subconscious and our conscious mind works, we can then use the power of our mind to support our desired changes happening much faster and easier rather than them limiting us. To do this, we need more than just scientific explanations and examples to be able to successfully follow the process of healthy change. We need to understand the inner workings of our own mind so we can see where and how it is helping and hindering us. Then, from this place, we can apply self-understanding to the steps and processes in each section of this course. To do this, we need to first build a strong enough foundation to support the inner house of a healthy self that we are building. The map example we used before is a good way to begin building this foundation. If you're wanting to travel but are not familiar with the area, then a map will be extremely helpful. Now remember, the most important thing we need to know on the map for us to properly navigate is, you are here. Even if you see where you want to go on a map, without knowing where you are in relation to your desired destination, the map is useless. Now, a map is not only a productive way to offer the structure of this course, but is also a metaphor to relate your conscious attention into your body awareness. Remember the saying, your point of power is in the present? If your attention is not present with your body, and instead is off in thought-based reality, then how can you relate an accurate feeling or emotional connection of yourself to life? It just can't be done this way because your body and the physical experience of it through your senses is the feedback system that connects you and your experience of life together. On the real map, you need to know where you are on it to effectively and efficiently navigate from where you are to where you want to go. The you are here on your inner map is your awareness, attention, and focus upon your present body sensations right now in the moment where you are. Without knowing where you are on your inner map, you are disconnected from your body awareness and instead are indirectly relating to life through your thoughts, opinions, and perceptions, allowing your behaviors to be ran by your subconscious autopilot programs while your attention is not at the helm. This is simply living life by habit, not conscious creation. Your true in-the-moment body connection is your life map and the cornerstone of the foundation we will be building together in this course. Making lasting changes requires seeing how things are happening before we take action. Otherwise, we will be wasting energy by repeating and hence reinforcing the old subconscious programs and patterns that we want to change. There are four maps we're going to be using in this course to create clarity and understanding. Applying all four of these maps together will create a strong and healthy foundation that will support the changes you desire. The first map are the goals that you want to achieve through this course, which you worked on at the beginning of our sessions at this program. The second map is the course map, which is already created for you in this program, and the structure of our sessions together. The third map is where you are on your inner map, your mind-body-spirit connection. It will come with following the practices in this course as you go along. The fourth map of where you are in your current life experiences is important to do right now because if we want to create conscious changes, we need to be honest about where we are starting from, as this will affect what the most appropriate steps will be. It is like kind of like writing checks, where it is very important to know the truth of where you are with your bank balance before you write these checks. Otherwise, you will become overdrawn on your account and bounce checks. If we want to know the truth of where we are on the map, we need to look around and establish where we are standing geographically. Once we know where we are and have a map of the area we're in, we can then pinpoint where we are on the map. Once we have done that, we can expand our view outward from where we are to see the bigger picture of the map as a whole and how our position relates to everywhere else. This will give us great understanding of how to plot our route to make deliberate changes to achieve our goals. We can learn a lot of valuable information from seeing the bigger picture. Now, to do this, I want you to take a piece of paper and make a list of all your main life areas. So here's an example of what a main life area is and a little bit of a list to give you some ideas. Now, it doesn't matter how similar or different your life areas are, just write it out as it is. So sleeping, our diet, our friendships, relationships, pets if we have them, family, work, hobbies, physical fitness, spiritual practice. All the areas, the main areas of your life that take time on a day-to-day, weekly, monthly basis on a regular occurrence. The purpose of this exercise is to take a close look at all the main areas of your life map to see where they are in relation to each other, as well as where you want to go. Some areas will be doing really, really well and already on their way to your goals, but other areas need a lot of loving attention still, as they're holding all the other areas back from moving forward. Now, from a scale of 1 to 10, mark down how well each main life area is going, 1 being not very well and 10 being really, really well. Stuck areas of our lives limit all the other areas. So as an example, I want you to grab one end of an elastic band in your left hand and the other end in your right hand, and notice how you can stretch it apart. Just think, feel that feeling of stretching apart. Now, think of the left hand as a life area that is stuck and causing you emotional pain, such as, say, for an example, unresolved issue between you and your partner. Now, think of your right hand as another area of your life that's going pretty well, with lots of exciting new ideas and wonderful potential for change. Your right hand wants to move forward with all the exciting new ideas and potentials for change, but it begins to stretch the elastic further and further away from your left hand that is stuck in the emotional unhappiness. Feel the tension in the elastic as you stretch it. Notice that the further you move your right hand away from your left hand that's stuck, the more you feel it wanting to pull your right hand back where your left hand is stuck there. You can only go so far because the two ends of the elastic are actually connected together. If you stretch the elastic too far, it will break, which is like stretching yourself too far and breaking down. This is the same with all your life areas, as they are all interconnected. In this example, the emotional pain from the unresolved issue between you and your partner will be with you on a subconscious level while you are doing anything else. It'll be there all the time. Sometimes this results in difficulty focusing on whatever else you're doing because you feel upset and you can't get it out of your mind. Other times, the distraction of doing other things helps you not think about the stuck area, but you know that it's still there on a deep level. It's like some clutter in the corner of a room in your house that you keep thinking of picking up. You walk by it, but it just never gets done. Every day you ignore it, but on a deep level you know it is still there. Your subconscious connects to this information every time you walk by that area. Bit by bit, the thoughts add up, and over time, costs you substantially more energy than what it would take for you to just clean it up in the first place. Stuck life areas slowly add up and cost an emotional energy that limit our happiness and flow in all the other areas. The purpose of this life area map is to simply see what areas are holding you back. And from that place, you can apply loving attention to them to support some healthy conscious changes to them. This will allow your left hand that holds the elastic to free itself to move forward so all the other areas can grow more in balance with each other and even support one another to change and evolve more easily in the process. We will, of course, be visiting these areas during our sessions together as I help you through them through the process. I suggest sitting with the results of this exercise and contemplating which area of your life could use the most loving attention at this point in time. This will make it very real and very personal for you, which will speed up your ability to be able to more easily process through whatever emotions come up for you and the goals and changes you desire. If there is one area that has a really big block with a lot of emotional charge, it may be best to set it aside for now until you become more practiced through this course with some smaller areas first. And we can, of course, talk about these in our sessions as they arise. Now, how does our subconscious mind keep us stuck? Our subconscious mind runs our autonomic nervous system, which is comprised of two subsystems, the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system is our survival system, which you know as fight or flight or freeze. It is our reactive mind that triggers automatic behaviors to help us cope and survive in difficult life situations. The parasympathetic nervous system is our relaxed state of homeostasis, which runs growth, regeneration, and creative out-of-the-box thinking. We will explore the mind more and more as we go along, but for now, what is important to know is that when we operate on programs that are based on us not feeling safe in the world, or don't feel safe to express who we really are or what we're really feeling, then this triggers the subconscious to react with its associated survival coping programs. This expresses itself in many ways, such as through stressful thinking, worry, fears, anxiety, or feeling bad about ourselves to keep us from continuing with what is perceived as a threat to our well-being. This connects to the main core beliefs that I talked about earlier. If we have any of these beliefs in our programming, then we will often see life through the lens of them, which will cause us to frequently worry and focus negatively on life. This leads back to the core limiting beliefs that can result from not getting enough of our needs met when we were a child, which are, I am not good enough, I am unworthy, I'm a bad person. The subconscious works to keep us safe, because if we do not survive, none of our other functions in life matter, which is why the sympathetic nervous system becomes top priority when danger is perceived. If there is any threat, either perceived or real, the subconscious sends the signal to worry. This is a function to keep us safe, for when we are on worry alert, we look around for dangers that may be lurking, which we may not have otherwise seen when we were not looking for them. Just having subconscious beliefs that we are not good enough can cause worry, because if you think you are not good enough, then the belief is that bad things will happen to you, which perpetually gives you something to worry about. An example would be that this triggers fear to put yourself out there in life, which becomes more worry, which keeps you stuck in fight or flight and overstresses your sympathetic nervous system into an out-of-balance state. This not only becomes your viewpoint seen through the lens of worry, but your system as a whole becomes more and more out of balance as the cycle expands on itself. Always having to be on alert causes massive tension within, because we are getting stuck in survival programs for too long, without time for our body to repair and recuperate the costs of the high output that fight or flight requires from our system. This causes our body to become more out of balance and triggers more fight or flight. Our resistance to life is what keeps us stuck. When we perceive life from a place of stress and worry, this becomes resistance to life and what we feel, which results as tension in our body. Tension makes it very hard to change old habits, because the resistance we are experienced toward what we do not like is the binder that holds these familiar patterns of resistance in place. In my workshops, I like to use a big dishwashing sponge to demonstrate how this works. I suggest that you do this now with me as I describe the steps to you, as nothing beats personal experience to understand and relate to something. If you do not have a sponge, then maybe use a cloth or something soft and light that you can grasp. Hold the sponge in your hand as it faces down to the floor with your palm facing downwards. Now as you do this, notice the mild tension in your hand and fingers that is holding the sponge in your hand. Now let your attention leave the sponge and focus on a state of acceptance and ease within your hand. Just breathe in and out and imagine your finger muscles discontinuing any subtle tension that may be taking place. Take in a slow deep breath, and as you exhale, imagine it letting everything go. Imagine that there is a state in between holding on and letting the sponge go. You're not trying to hold the sponge, which takes resistance, and you're not trying to do the opposite, which is opening your hand up with reverse muscle movement. Just be with the feeling state, that natural state of natural ease and flow as your hand slowly just becomes neutral. When I do this with a volunteer in a workshop, it can take several minutes of me guiding the person holding the sponge into a full state of ease. The sponge is really quite light and soft in its shape, so it doesn't take much energy to hold on to, but because it is also not very heavy, it doesn't just fall away with gravity that easy. In time, with guiding the person into the neutral in-between state as their attention becomes focused on a deep and deeper state of ease in their fingers, you can see the tension that was holding it in place slowly letting go, as the sponge just slowly begins to release all on its own. At one point, the person's fingers just become so relaxed, not holding on and not trying to let it go either. Through this natural state of ease, the sponge just falls away on its own accord. This happens because there is no longer any more resistance to hold the sponge in place. This is the same way with old negative patterns as well as emotional and cellular memory. Let's think of the sponge in another way here. That when you squeeze the sponge tightly in your hand and you dip it into a sink of water, it can't absorb any water through its cells. But when you release the resistance in your grip, the water can then enter all the cells, all the open space in the sponge as water easily flows through it. Now just dip the sponge in the sink of water and try it for yourself to see what I mean. Now relate this to your body when you are tensing your muscles tight and compare that with allowing your muscles to relax, resuming a natural state of ease. Which state is more conducive to allowing a natural flow of blood and energy to circulate through your cells and your whole body? Now imagine the energy of your emotions in your body and how well it flows while you are in a tense and stressed state compared to a state of ease. When we are stuck in worry, fear and stress, unhappiness, or not wanting something, this creates a state of tension in our body. This resistance limits the flow of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual energy in equal proportion to the level of resistance that we are projecting into the experience. When we allow our body and mind to reorient back to a state of natural ease by allowing and accepting what is, the holding patterns caused by resistance against the things we do not like begin to release, which then allows the negative emotions to simply fall away through our own acceptance of them. This is how we process and let go of feelings and emotions. By simply allowing, accepting, and experiencing them as they move through us, this facilitates a space of supportive self-acceptance of the feeling experience in our body, which creates the same result that we saw with the sponge. When we are in a state of ease, there is flow. And when there is flow, our emotional patterns are free to go through their natural process as they move through us and release. Spend some time with these sponge exercises as you contemplate what I have just shared. This will open your mind up some more to the process of how to let go of that which we do not want. I will revisit this sponge example throughout the course, as it is such a simple reminder of how our resistance to unwanted things and feelings are causing them to remain. Throughout this course, I will also talk more about how subconscious triggers and belief systems happen and how the sponge example relates to how you can learn to let them go. But for now, we need to build that foundation of awareness, so that we can see what is actually happening to reconnect to our attention, awareness, and focus back to our body, where our point of power in the present moment is. From this place, we will then be able to see and understand where we are on our inner map to more clearly be able to navigate through the next sections as we continue. Now that you've listened to the free samples of how I work, it's a perfect time to contact me for a free personalized one-on-one consultation. There's absolutely no obligation. We can get to know each other a little bit, talk about your challenges, your goals, and about the therapy process that I can offer you. I really look forward to hearing from you.